Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Chris Mack joins us from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Chris,
same
welcome back.
Great to have you with us. Together that invite, Steve, same person is the same person that writes your ad copy. I guarantee it.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I have to visually edit everything. I mean, you ever hear the commercial for Babbel?
Yes.
That's the same guy. All right. Same guy. All right. So, John Henry and the Fenway Group already own Fenway Roush Racing. Mm-hmm. They already own the Boston Red Sox. They already own Liverpool. Now they want to buy the Penguins. So what's been the thought process in Pittsburgh hearing that?
I'll tell you, most people, including myself, look at it as a good thing. It probably won't really change the way the Penguins do business. From some of the reporting that's been done, it sounds like they look at this as another investment in a top-tier property, for lack of a better way to put it. The Boston Red Sox are a top-tier property. Fenway Park is literally a top-tier property in Major League Baseball. I guess we could call the Red Sox and LFC brands. We could call Roush Fenway a brand. Now Roush Fenway Keselowski. And they only invest in the best. And they rarely, if ever, and I know people are going to throw Mookie Betts up as an example, but Mookie Betts, really, when you look at it, was not a salary dump. The Red Sox knew Betts wasn't going to stick around, and so they had to get something for him, and certainly it wasn't a great trade. But they spend up to what they can spend to. You know, they never let finances become an issue, which in Pittsburgh we are acutely keen to that subject given our baseball team. So, the Penguins have always been a cap team, and I don't think anyone expects that to be any different. It's also key, I think, that Mario Lemieux is going to stay a part of the ownership group, and that connection to the heritage of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey is very important. You know, I talked to Ryan Malone on our show this morning, and it is, you know, he's, I think, maybe 2-3 months older than me. We're both in our early 40s, both grew up watching the Penguins of the early 90s. That's what got us into hockey, right? And he ended up turning it into a career. Mario is the genesis of all of that. And for a new generation, it's been Crosby, sure, but the Crosby era doesn't exist without Lemieux and the Lemieux era. So it's an important it's important, I think, that he remains a part of it to stay connected to the past of what this organization is, and to remember maybe in some cases the ups and downs, the travails that this organization has been through, as well as the successes. And I think that's a good thing. And like I said, the fact that Fenway, we know they'll spend, but this will be their first entree into a capped system, which they haven't had to deal with in baseball and soccer.
Yeah, ever along the way. But there's a couple points to this. Number one, I know there was some talk that Mario might get out altogether. I think it's a big plus they convince him to stay in it. I just think it's great for the organization and the image of the organization.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if Mario had decided to walk away at this point, who could blame him, right? Because there are some lean years coming, certainly. You know, this may be the first year in, let's see, it'll be 15, 16, 17 years that they don't make the playoffs. At least that's the position they sit in right now. And we know that here in Pittsburgh, as much as there are a lot of hardcore hockey fans, a lot of the fans that have filled up that building for that sellout streak that just ended last month, they're there when the Penguins are winners, right? And there have been lean years when they were not winners. So Mario knows that. Ron Burkle certainly knew that. Ron Burkle was a money guy. I mean, he liked sitting on the back of a convertible in those three parades, but he was a money guy. So it's good that they convinced Mario to stick around, and that, again, that link to the heritage of the Pittsburgh Penguins will remain intact. If it had just become a nameless, faceless brand or entity, I think that would have been tough for the brand going forward, in especially towards the post Crosby Malkin era.
There's also another part that doesn't apply to this, because the Fenway Group, the John Henry Group, is acquiring the Penguins because they're a marquee franchise. But there's a little known NHL rule that when there's a new owner and it's bought, you can't move a team for 7 years.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know that rule exists.
No, it's I'm glad you bring it up, because we talked about it this morning as well. It is little known, but it is very important. And you know, it's I don't think there's any there's even if let's put it this way, even if Lemieux had not been involved or had decided not to stay involved, I wouldn't fear that at all.
Right.
I think, you know, immediately on the surface for the next year or two, we're not even going to notice any difference, I don't think, to be quite honest. Like I said, the way they do business, very similar to the way the Burkle Lemieux Group did business. Burkle Lemieux Group has always been top flight as far as taking care of players and their families. It's why it's such a destination for free agents, on top of the fact that they get to play with Crosby and Malkin. But, you know, let's see. I will reserve judgment, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, and up to that 7 year point, like you said, are they doing business any differently? It'll be something to keep an eye on, but I don't think there was.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any fear about the Penguins relocating. We're not back where we were when they were fighting for a new arena 20 years ago.
As I said, it doesn't apply to this situation, but I just want to at least get it out there so people know that for 7 years you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. You know, I know local TV news has a job to do, and their job is to sell ads, just like it's our job to sell ads on the radio. But you know, they were out there in front of PPG Paints Arena, informing fans who didn't know yet last night as they were walking in. Oh, have you heard the Penguins have been sold? And for a casual fan who doesn't understand what that means, you had people reacting like, oh my God, they've been sold? Are they moving? What's happening? You know,
right.
They're not moving. They're not going anywhere. This franchise is on as stable a ground as it's been in the last 15 years, 20 years, and it's just about changing the name at the top of the checks that everybody gets.
I think it's the stablest it's been since it came to existence in 67.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I mean, you think about those lean years. Pre-DeBartolo, and then even post-DeBartolo, and after Howard Baldwin nearly ran the thing into the ground. They are very lucky to have had the ownership group that they've had since then. And, you know, I can't imagine this getting – I can only see it staying the same or getting better, I guess. I can't imagine it getting worse under Fenway.
I can imagine that the 16-16 tie went over big on your show.
You know, it's perfect because and I started to see and hear people saying this during overtime. I was one of the people remarking it myself. It's almost perfect because in a year where we thought there was no way this team could finish 500, even though they are so obviously a 500 team, now they can. They can go 8-8-1, and Mike Tomlin can have another non-losing season to put on his resume, right? Another season perhaps not in the playoffs, but that's, I guess, the other side of the coin here. This team has many issues. You know, not chief amongst them is the fact that I don't know if the entire organization is sold on the quarterback succession plan. And that's a long-range issue. Short-range is they can't tackle anybody to save their lives. They may be without T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick. They will be without Minkah. They might be without Watt as well against Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense.
Maybe without Joe Hayden too. Maybe without Joe Hayden too.
Exactly. Thank you. And they can't stay committed to the run when they should, as they should have at, you know, first and goal on the 5 yard line where they ran three straight pass plays and Mason Rudolph fired one into the ground. They've got a lot of issues, and so the offensive line, they need to come to terms with and I guess accept the reckoning that is. There's going to be, you know, a few lean years, like I just mentioned with the Penguins. The Steelers have to accept the fact that the best thing to do at this point, it's not to blow it all up. You're not doing that. You just signed T.J. Watt to a contract. You just drafted Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. But at the quarterback position, it may be best to just start from scratch, you know. Haskins and Rudolph, it's becoming more and more apparent every single day, are not – neither of them is the guy going forward. And Ben just doesn't have many bullets left. You know, I don't know how much better he may have been than Rudolph on Sunday, to be quite honest. And I don't know, after watching the way he played down the stretch last year, if we'll necessarily get anything different this year.
Yeah. If there's a lockout in baseball, will anybody in Pittsburgh notice?
The people that like to go down to Bradenton and watch spring training games will notice.
Yes.
You know, I fear... I almost, and I've talked about this with several people who cover the organization, I almost wish for the nuclear option to a certain extent with baseball this winter, in that they kind of do what hockey did in 2003, 2004, where they just blew it all up, the financial system, and started from scratch. And they got a hard cap in, and they got a hard floor in, and they changed the economics of the game so that every franchise could have an opportunity to thrive. And I would hope that if baseball is going to face any kind of labor stoppage this year, that that would be the result. But you know, and I know, and I think the general sports public, sports consuming public, doesn't have any faith that it's actually going to go that way, right? They're going to sit around and argue and yell and scream at each other for 3 or 4 months. Nothing will get done. And then finally, they'll make a couple small concessions on either side. And we'll be right back where we were. People complaining about, you know, no middle class existing in player salaries, people complaining about no middle class really existing amongst organizations and clubs either. Some teams are always tanking, some teams are always going over the luxury tax threshold, and we'll just spin our wheels again for another 5 or 10 years.
Pitt has a chance to win the Coastal Division. They've got Virginia this weekend. Are people in Pittsburgh noticing Pitt? Because I watched the North Carolina game, and it looked like a gold out.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean,
and the gold out didn't include human beings in it.
Yeah. I mean, we have this conversation all the time, right, Steve? Especially those of us that come from a tradition that involves 100,000 people filling a stadium every weekend, even if it's against Rutgers, right? It seems foreign to us that that place sits half empty on some game days, especially with a team that is now ranked 18th in the country. I suspect they'll get a decent crowd this weekend, but the other thing to consider is, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of students, they may head home this weekend. You know, they've got Thanksgiving break next week. I hope the student section shows up. I just heard Kenny Pickett mention that on his show on our station. I'm almost at the point now where I just want Pitt to succeed for Kenny Pickett's sake. He's such a great kid.
Yeah.
I really think he's got a fairly bright future. I don't know if he'll be a years-long starter in the NFL, but just the story of him deciding to bet on himself, come back for another year, and that bet paying off in what is statistically the second or third best season any quarterback in D1 is having is really fun to watch. And I hope Brennan Armstrong's healthy so that we can get that quarterback matchup on Saturday too. And it would be, you know... Again, as much as some older Penn State and Pitt fans will always be at each other's throats, I'll be honest, I kind of like when Pitt succeeds sometimes. Certainly not at the expense of Penn State when they play each other, but you know, when Pitt wins, I think it's better for football in Pennsylvania.
Well, how many times have you heard me praise Kenny Pickett the last 4 years? You know, I praised him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot.
No.
Because look, I talk football. It doesn't matter what the name on the label happens to be. The kid can play, he can play. And I like him. He's a heck of a player.
I mean, I don't want to knock a guy who's physically getting the crap beat out of him this year, but if Kenny Pickett were wearing blue and white this year instead of Sean Clifford, we might have a different result in a few spots. And again, that's not Cliff, because I know he's taken a beating this year, but it's just food for thought, I think.
Chris, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much, my friend. It was great to see you at the Mole Man tailgate.
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait to do it again. Thank you so much for that. And I'd come up every weekend if we could, but, you know, with the kids and school and activities and all that, that's unfortunately far too rare. So I'll just say I'll look forward to doing it again very soon, Steve. Always great to catch up.
Beautiful family, by the way. And married way up. All right.
So, yeah. Believe it or not, those kids are actually mine. I have no idea how.
No, no.
But, you know. Hey.
Yeah, thank goodness for the mother. All right.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Steve.
Chris. Appreciate it.